All right, Madtown, it is your favorite hostess, Brandi Grayson, here on 92.7 FM WMDX. You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. And y'all know I get it from my mama. She was fine, intelligent, smooth skin, like wine, okay? And I get finer with time. God is good. Amen. Those jeans don't play. And you add the melanin and then it poppy pop pops, you know, because what they say, black don't crack unless you own crack, okay? So don't do crack. Don't do drugs. Black people, stay away from it so you can stay as flawless as me, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And good morning. So today I have in the studio a co-host, Kelly Williams, my girl. I'm so excited to have you. Kelly, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you?
I'm so many things, right?
So many people in one body.
So many people in one body, honey. The evolution is real, okay?
Okay, period.
So I initially came to Madison from Chicago like way back in the day. I think I moved here in the early 2000s.
Okay.
Right?
About 20 years ago.
Yes, y'all on Allied Drive.
It had to be like 23 years ago.
Yeah, 23 years. You had a baby, baby. Your daughter was baby.
Yeah, I think it was my second born, Ciara. Yeah, she's 25 now, so.
Yes, and Brandon's 26. Remember they used to play on the trampoline?
Oh, yeah. That's so weird.
Yeah, we go back, girl.
Way back, like. So flat tires.
Yes.
On the Cadillac.
So, I came down here, moved to Allied Drive. You was the first girl that I met here in Madison. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
With an attitude, a sweater, and some heels.
She's talking about me. I had an attitude. I mean, that's pretty normal.
Yes, honey, attitude. But she was willing to help me, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So even though, like, I didn't know if it would be, like, a friend of me type thing. Because, you know, black girls, we do a dance like we're in the wild, right?
We do.
We do, right? So you, like, it's like animals in the wild. So we just kind of circling each other. And you just walked up like, well, I can help you do your resume. And I recently spoke to somebody about it. And I'm like, what's the shit? Like, ma'am.
And Allied Drive, for our listeners, was my first community job. I worked on Allied Drive as a community support specialist. That was the beginning of my nonprofit work.
Yes, that was the beginning. Because you used to help out me and the kids all the time. We live right across the street, Miss Rita.
Yeah. Yep. And Rita Dare, my foster mother, adopted mother, was the community social worker at Joining Forces for Families at the time. And that's where I was stationed through Nehemiah. I actually worked for Nehemiah, and they had the contract for the community support specialist.
Yeah, she had your little office back there. Yep. She come in her little jeans and heels, honey. Can't tell her nothing. Just like today, can't tell me nothing.
And I knew nothing, but you still couldn't tell me nothing.
You still couldn't tell you nothing, honey. I love that, though, right?
Yep.
Claiming who we are, knowing who you are up front, well, even if you didn't sort it out.
Yeah, right. I didn't sort it out. I thought I knew who I was, but didn't have no clue. And now 25 years later, I'm like, ooh, what a mess.
But we know where it hails from, right?
Amen.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, you started off, you moved here 25 years ago. Where did you come from?
Chicago, from the hood.
Oh, from the... And why did you move to Madison?
Because there was a shootout in front of my house. I had three little kids. And a shootout. So I already had a cousin that lived here in Madison. So she was like, look, come down to this place and, like, you can get some help. So I did. I left Chicago and I found a little apartment on Allied Drive. I met you. Started working in the dental office because I was a dental hygienist.
Yep. Yeah.
And I started working there and living and just trying to make it here, right? But there was always, like, a disconnect for me with Madison.
You know, people often, especially trolls and white people who dislike black people, they often talk about this migration from Chicago to Madison, Wisconsin, and they always refer to us as the worst of the worst, because my family also migrated here, but I was like 10 or 11 when my family migrated here. And most people who are migrating here come for better opportunity and better resources. And what I hear you say is when you got here, you got a job, you got an apartment, all the basic necessities, quote unquote, to live an okay life and a safe life.
Yeah.
But there still was a disconnect. What was the disconnect for you?
Madison already had a... Madison has this box that they put black people into, and we should all fit, right? Like, you... There are good services here. There are good things here to further, like, your community, you as a person. But there's always this disconnect when you go to receive the services, right? I am always very much so aware that this person that I'm approaching is not where I'm from, if that makes any sense,
right? Yeah.
So they will give you certain things. Well, I was in between, right? I did not qualify for everything that you made in a low income.
Right.
But then I wasn't at the medium income where I didn't need the low income services.
Right. You didn't make enough where you could be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't make, you made too much to to access the resources.
The resources.
So that left you negative in a sense.
Not so much negative, just knowing that I would have to operate in this gray area. Right. Which is why when I met you on Allied Drive that day, instead of taking it like, wait a minute, I took a step back, like, who's a spicy little black girl? Like, she is, she got flavor, right?
Yeah. Not spicy.
Yeah, spicy girl, because you know you be having attitude.
Girl, my attitude got a little better, sis. Now you just see me smiling. Back then, I didn't care.
You still be thinking it.
Yeah, I do. You ain't wrong.
Right? So, like, give you a chance to see where you came from. And me and you connected on another level because, like, you know that I read and... Mm-hmm. We were interested and we debated the issues and, you know, it was always one day we would grow up to be these people who would reach back and then get the community.
Yeah,
right?
We did talk a lot about that.
Right.
Yeah.
We talked a lot. So you actually did like reach back and get your community after everything. Like we are regular hood chicks.
Yeah.
Right.
Can yes, we say hood chicks? Yes, you can. I think that's okay with the FCC, right? Like we're okay with the term hood chick. Yes, we are born in a hood, raised in a hood,
raised in a hood.
Then migrated here. And I think sometimes people don't understand that additional edginess that comes with it and the feistiness that comes with that. So you came to Madison from Chicago. I met you on Allied Drive. And from there, what happened?
From there, I was still living and doing, and you were still coming up. I believe that you were in the process of transitioning to, like, work at the welfare office.
No,
right?
Yeah, Aver, yeah, yeah.
Yep, you was transitioning to go to Aver.
I got fired from Nehemiah. Just be honest, I got fired.
That's Spice Girl.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I got fired. And for our folks that's just tuned in, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and my co-host for the day,
Kelly.
Okay.
Hey, yo.
And we're just catching up because we're old friends and she has returned to Madison running her businesses. And we're going to talk about her businesses and also talk about resources and the point of her providing context about how she got here and the services that she receives. Because we're going to talk about nonprofits today. We're going to talk about small businesses, resources today. And we're going to talk about the politics that go along with it. And there's no better people to talk about it than the folks who have not just access the resources, survived and thrived, whether we received them or not. So that's what we're here to talk about today. So yeah, so we were on Allied Drive and then what happened?
And then you, I guess, took interest, right? We started to talk. Mm-hmm. You got to know my kids. You would take us to like the Dells and stuff when, you know, you would do the community outreach. Mm-hmm. And I just remember coming to you one day, right? Mm-hmm. So this is what made us cool, because I could tell you anything, right? You can't tell everybody everything.
That's
right?
True.
But you were always like the friend. I tell people now, like, if you go to jail, call Brandi.
Yeah,
like Brandi ride or die, she come to get you.
Absolutely,
right?
Yep.
So that was like when I first came back and I was like, yes, to see you do this. Mm-hmm. Right? So for me being here, it had to be a transition. Like I said, I wasn't low income enough to get certain services, but income wasn't above enough to be able to thrive and survive like everybody else.
Yeah.
So I talked to you one time in your wide body Grand Prix, and I was like,
that was my favorite car.
Yes.
That wide body Grand Prix would take off on you. Oof. Oh, I love that car. And I used to hit the curves real hard because it was really low body.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that car.
And then she little music bumping, honey, you coming.
Girl, I love that car. Oh, that was a good flashback.
So we were sitting talking. He was like, well, why don't you just do it? Right? Because, you know, to a certain point, you're the kind of person that you can only tell for so long.
Right, because I get tired of hearing it.
You get tired of hearing it, and you want some kind of action behind it, right?
That's why I have a hard time in my partnership. Like, stop talking about it, just do it.
And that was what it was.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just do it then? Yeah. Why don't you just... And, yeah. I'm thinking to myself, like, get on a Greyhound with the three kids and just go someplace new. So then after talking to you for a while, like, you convinced me, like, yeah, like, it may be a whole another life out there for me. So me, the three kids, and the Greyhound bus, like, Sacagawea. You... on to find this new life that I knew had to exist behind past Allied Drive.
Yeah.
Right now in Madison, I can only afford Allied,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
to maintain and still feed the kids and not get like food stamps and housing and yeah, all the other things that are available. Right.
Right. You'll get stuck.
I'll get stuck. So yeah, as a mother of five kids, y'all, honestly, like beyond food stamps or Medicaid, like I've never received anything else from anybody else.
Yeah.
So that's good motivation, right? To keep climbing, to keep going.
Yeah.
I remember becoming a leasing agent and thinking in Vegas, like this 10 bucks an hour, like this is, how could I,
yeah, right?
I came from the Midwest. Right. I would never.
Never make $10 an hour. No, like $10 an hour. We ain't made that since we were 14 like, years old. Like who makes $10? But okay, let me just back up to anyone who makes $10 an hour. This is not a shout.
No.
I'm just saying like that's the mentality.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah. And I didn't know why this evolution was happening because yeah, at least if I go back to Madison, I can't afford my rent, but I make a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
To be able to feed the kids and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I just stayed with it, right? 25 years in property management. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a regional property manager for a company here in town. I've started my own small business built around because, right, part of being like a hood kid mm-hmm, is that we are thinkers, we're hustlers.
Yes, we are, girl.
And
endures.
You can't yep, tell us no,
nope,
right?
Yep.
All you can do is put an obstacle, but in our heads, we already know that obstacle yep, has come. We're already prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we're with it, right?
We are winning.
And yeah, like we go in with a different mindset so you can't yeah, stop us. It makes us unstoppable, right?
Yeah, and you know what? That's so powerful that you said that because I often say that about our youth and our young folks, which mm-hmm, is why I hire people that we serve because you come with a different understanding of life and yeah, a different ability to navigate spaces and maneuver spaces. And like just like you said, we're doers by nature because you couldn't afford not to do.
Exactly.
You couldn't afford to just to sit back and wait for someone to show up. And mm-hmm, I think we downplay that skill and talent. So when stuff hits the fan, like COVID,
yeah,
I'm telling y'all, I don't care what reports or numbers said, Black people.
We were thriving,
what?
Honey. We were thriving.
But
outside shopping when what? We couldn't find nobody
what?
Else.
COVID, look, COVID yeah, hit and everybody went crazy and Black people went to hustling
yeah,
immediately.
But yeah,
we our minds were like, bing, 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 bing,
yeah,
bing. Where can I make the money?
Hence the birth of my business,
okay,
right?
Bam.
Hence the birth of the
That's
business.
That's when Urban Triage birthed,
yes,
okay?
Okay, so with us, I couldn't find a cleaning company that had come out, but
yeah,
I still had these people in the
yeah,
process of moving in, but we were in the process of shutting down,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you the irony of me starting this successful business. The face of my business is a Hispanic man.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how I put you on the bus to Texas 25 years ago with three kids and you feeling like no one ever love you,
yeah,
marry you.
Yeah.
And you went to Texas, found you a Hispanic man, Mexican.
Yeah,
right?
Hispanic. Yeah,
married you, had two more kids.
Yeah, two more kids,
And let
right,
me just tell y'all, y'all know the stereotypes about Mexican men. They take care of their family.
Yes,
and he'll work two or three jobs to take care of his family.
And
okay?
He will. Jesse go to bat for me, girl. Like, okay, so this is the best thing about Jess, right? He is okay to shrink
mm-hmm,
to let me go and live, if
yeah,
that makes any sense.
And lead, yeah.
And lead,
yeah,
right? Not so much in like finances or head of the house type stuff, but sometimes I need room just to be a Black woman, girl.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, we're gonna talk about that. And shout out to her husband, okay? Because he often has to be the translator of their business. Because when Black women show up, y'all don't hear us the same.
Right.
But you put a white face, a white woman, a Mexican or brown, anybody other than a white Black mm-hmm, woman, y'all listen differently. So we're gonna continue to talk about that, how people hear us and why it's necessary for Black businesses, including nonprofits, to have translators. And we're gonna talk about Urban Triage translators when we return, because I just hired me a couple translators. Okay. Thank you for tuning into 92.7 FM with your girl Brandy Grayson, the hostess with the mostest here on the Black Convergence Show. Make sure you return for the tea because, oh my God, we got to talk about Trump and his mathing, y'all. We got a clip and it is hilarious. Let's, you know, okay, we're going to come back, y'all. Stay tuned. We'll be back in the GIF. I look too good, put that on my mama, on my hood. I look fly, I look good. You can't touch my back, but you could.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Okay, I just need to let this play, Luke. Okay. You are tuned in to 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandy Grayson here on the Black Convergence Show. And we are returning with a whole bunch of spice. And I was waiting for Beyonce to drop because, why, you know, the conversation, you know what I'm saying?
I should have started it later.
Yeah, because I'm like, wait, where is it, Luke?
I forgot how much of an intro there was to it. That was a minute.
Look, I tried to slow down, like, okay, well, you black conversion show, but okay, we'll catch it on the end.
All right. That was the whole point, though. I'm just trying to get you to slow down. Yeah, okay. You know that.
That's what it was. Okay. All right. Shout out to my white producer, Luke, my favorite white boy, Luke, and my favorite producer. I love me some him, okay? He know he loved me too, okay? My co-host for today is Kelly, my girl from the past, but she is here to talk about her business, her transitions, the resources, the politics in Madison. And before we get back into the story of the politics and how she married a Mexican man, and now he is her translator for the white people, we're going to talk about that too.
Yes. It's so for real, y'all.
But before we get into details about her, how Jason operates as a translator, go ahead, Luke, and give us this quick soundbite from my favorite, one of my favorite people, Trevor Noah.
And this is random for some, but special shout out to black women.
Yes, shout out to us. Shout out to us. Shout out to Kelly.
Thank you.
You know, I've often been credited with, you know, having these grand ideas of people like, oh, Trevor, you're so smart and you're so, and then I'm like, who do you think teaches me? Mm-hmm. You know? Who do you think has shaped me, nourished me, informed me? You know, from my mom, my grand, you know, my aunts, all these black women in my life. But then in America as well, I always tell people, if you truly want to learn about America, talk to black women. Yeah, because unlike everybody else, black women cannot afford to f*** around and find out.
Mm-hmm.
Black people understand how hard it is when things go bad,
mm-hmm.
especially in America, but any place where black people exist, whether it's Brazil, whether it's South Africa, wherever it is, when things go bad, black people know that it gets worse for them. But black women in particular, they know what is, genuinely. People always be shocked. They'll be like, why do black women turn out the way they do in America? Why do they vote the way? Yeah, because they know what happens if things do not go the way it should. They cannot afford to around and find out. And to black women who have taught me, all of them, I mean, the scholars online, the, you know, the authors, everybody, the Roxane Gays, the Tressie McMillan Cottoms, the, you know, I'll remember the names, you know, the Zoe Tzamudzis, the, like, brilliant, brilliant women have taken the time to inform me, to educate me, to argue with me, you know, the Tarana Burks who, you know, laughed with me, talking about everything from sexual assaults to just what life is like. Yeah, man. I'll tell you now, do yourself a favor. You truly want to know what to do or how to do it, or maybe the best way or the most equitable way, talk to black women. They're a lot of the reason that I'm here.
Yep, and that's why I wanted to go ahead and play that clip. Thank you, Luke, because I want y'all to understand the importance of having black women in your lives. And I say this all the time to people, get you a black woman, trust black women, and trust black women because black women, like Trevor Noah said, knows what it's like to be without and to have to figure it out. And we can't F around and find out. We got to already maneuver, think ahead, plan ahead, and have strategies for if the floor falls, what do I do next, right? And I think that's a skill you develop when you are surviving poverty and living in the hood. Back to what you were saying,
yeah,
Kelly.
Yeah.
Before
when you're
break.
Coming from survival mode, when you're in survival mode, right? We've lived in survival mode for so very long.
Yes.
That everything we do operates from that place, right?
Mm-hmm.
We stretch a dollar.
Yep.
We raising our kids and helping the kids down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
With $10.
Right, $10. Mm-hmm. Right. I got a little bit, but if I make spaghetti, I can feed us all.
Yep.
Right? So just thinking from that place and operating from that place was not easy for me. So then moving from here, from Madison, you put me on a Greyhound bus with three little kids and an army duffel bag full of like snacks and stuff. Like we were going across the Sahara and it was literally from just to Fort Worth, Texas.
But I had to make sure y'all was fed.
Yes, right? Like I've got an entire an army duffel bag. It was as tall as she was. And she was dragging it. Like I got y'all this stuff to get on the bus with. And okay. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, but you got us that girl. And some of that stuff went into the kitchen of the new apartment that I ended up at, right?
Period.
Right? So then we get there and I'm like, okay, so this is navigating something different. I am totally out of my element, right? I am in Texas. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So I get this job at this warehouse, Motorola, shutting down Motorola, and I meet this Mexican dude. And he is like this chunky, short Mexican dude. And I'm like, okay, sir, come on with it, okay? And then...
Probably never thought one day I'm gonna marry me a Mexican.
Right. But then when he spoke to me, I was like, oh, he sounds kind of like a brother. I was like, he had a little swag. I said, okay. So then he finally convinced me to let me take him out.
And let him take me out.
So this is me, right? This is the hood, a black woman survival mode. I'm like, okay, we're gonna go out, but I'm gonna pay. I was like, yes, girl, because I had a theory. Let me pay for my stuff and let me pay for your stuff, too. Because at the end of the night, if don't nothing happen, you don't expect nothing from me. Uh-uh. I'm down here in the sticks.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want you to get mad after you didn't spend your money and then be like, I owe you something. Right, and then I ain't ready.
Right.
Now I got to give you this right hook.
Right.
Not if I...
Now you got to knock them out.
Yes, girl, because you know how they are in Texas, right? Yeah. Like, we talking about, like, Texas operate different, girl.
Okay.
Yeah, they operate... You still getting hit over the head. They may drag you onto the car. Like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it to that. So it is. I took them out and I paid and everything was good.
So we're going to pause you there just for a quick second, Kelly, because, you know, the sponsors need their time on the air. And when we return, we're going to talk about Jason being your translator, because that's what it's about, and how important black women are to the society. Y'all, I know I impacted Luke. That's why he loved me. I'm probably the blackest person he ever known. Black woman. Look.
I grew up volunteering at the hospital that my mom worked at. And I got a lot of advice and sage wisdom from the black women that I volunteer
that
with at the hospital.
Now, grown black woman. So
Miss Tamika's still my lady.
Stay tuned to Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM. We'll return with more politics and tea.
Right into the.
Hey, all right now, more Beyonce. I am a B fan here on 92.7 FM, WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson, hostess with the mostest. You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with my co-host,
Kelly Williams.
So soft, Kelly Williams.
Yes, girl.
So
hello,
Kelly,
y'all.
Yeah. So I invited Kelly on the show so she can talk a little bit about her experience. Prior to break, she was talking about her husband, her marrying her husband, meeting her husband. And let's dive right into where you guys are right now. You return back to Madison. You run a business. You're a regional property manager.
Yes.
And he does what for you?
He is the face of my business.
So why?
Because I've gone through the process of trying to get established. Trying to get my business where I feel like it needs to be and where every place that it should be.
Yeah.
Right. I was unsuccessful for about 2 years back to back in Madison. And then I started getting some momentum when we changed spaces. Mm. Right. The business name is still the same. It's just that the contracts come
through him.
Through him.
So when you're obtaining a contract in your business, give us your business name.
Dynamic Apartment Services.
Dynamic Apartment Services. So their company flips apartments when the leases are up. You come in and clean, get it prepared for the next tenant or apartment.
Yes.
And when you were the face going out, you know, talking to people, trying to get the contracts, you had a different response than when you sent your Mexican husband out to get these contracts.
Yes, because nobody heard me.
So when you showed up, how did they respond?
No response, right? Like, I have paid for classes. I've sat in classes. I've gone to organizations, all of these things who are saying that they are built to help black women here in Madison. Mm-hmm. But then when you show up, they don't fully see or hear you.
So you've went to resources and agencies and organizations that specialize in supporting black businesses, small black businesses. Mm-hmm. And when you show up as a black woman, they don't respect you. They talk to you crazy, even when they black.
Even when they're black. More so.
When they're black.
When they're black.
And then when you go to white people to like say, hey, I got this contract, I can turn these apartments, they just don't give you a response.
You don't get a response. But when I sent him, right, with the same flyers, the same information, armed to do the very same thing, then we'll come out with a contract that way.
Ain't that crazy?
Yeah.
And so I just want to put a pin here and say that, again, racism is and racism and sexism combined that intersection is really deep for Black women in Madison. It is so deep. That's why my name is always in everybody's mouth, because again, who does she think she is? Because technically, I, as the CEO and founder of Urban Triage, was not supposed to be successful. And white people, even with civic media, they think they can call up here and get the other white people to do something different with me. Like, mm-hmm. You shouldn't let her talk about this. You shouldn't let her do this. And that is how white Madison is. It's very controlling and very entitled whiteness. And most of the time, white people will respond with the response that they're asking them to fire them, to get them off the air. But some people don't realize, like, you know, these are my people here at civic media. So they already know who they was putting on the air before they put me on the air. So they was like, we're going to have a little trouble over here. So we just going to prepare for it, you know. Mm-hmm. But they actually act as my translator to folks who are calling in and saying A, B, and C. So that is very, I don't know, it's very strong in Madison.
Yes.
Like this disconnect or dislike for Black women from Black people, brown people, mm-hmm. and white people. You get it from mm-hmm. all angles.
And living in so many different places, right? Texas, Vegas. Las Vegas, Minnesota. Like, mm-hmm. I've been to a lot of different states doing what I do, right? It is the worst here in the Midwest.
Why?
I don't know. In Texas, I felt like nobody cared as long as I did my job. They didn't care what color I showed up, as long as I showed up on time, get the job done, give you a paycheck, right? In Madison, it's a little bit different. Everybody is so, you are not my typical Black girl, so I got to come get to know you.
Right.
I got to be in your business. What is with the kids? Like,
why you got 5 kids? Why 2 of them a little light?
Yeah. Like, they want the whole kit and caboodle, right? And they want to judge you as that. I typically don't wear a wedding ring. It's not that I don't have one, I just don't wear one. Right. I don't ever want it to be perceived like we shrink as Black women, right, so that we can just survive.
I shrink
in an area every day where I just need to survive. I don't want you to pay any extra attention to me. I've got kids to feed,
right?
I've had an evolution, you know. We, like you, living in better neighborhoods, driving a little bit better car, doing better for the kids. Now that my anxiety is 20-fold because, like you said, Trevor Noah, we can't find out.
Right.
I'm not in a place where this can be. I don't know. I don't have time to play games, right?
Yeah.
So I am very to the point, and I am very like stern at the job. Let me make sure that I'm doing X, Y, and Z, because if not, then how does my daughter get through nursing school? I got one that just graduated, headed to MATC, like, you know, and not huge universities, but for a Black girl from Chicago, from the hood, girl traveling homeless, like, I made it through.
Yeah. And I don't think, thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable here on 92.7 FM. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show. We're talking about politics and tea, what it means to be a Black girl in leadership, small business. Kelly owns her own business, how she has to operate from a place of translators. So Urban Triage, I have to have translators. I often have to have my white board members come to meetings with me, with white funders, because when they speak, they hear differently. I was in a meeting with a City of Madison contractor, and I was in that meeting to explain how they had been anti-Black and that their conversation and their actions towards Urban Triage was rooted in racism. And I started the conversation very nice and like, hey, you know, this is going to be an awkward conversation, but I do believe in building transparency and true collaboration and real relationships. I believe in that. I believe that if something happens and we talk through it, we create a clearing if there's a breakdown, so that we can all, because the work that we're doing is important for the people that we serve. I believe in the work. I believe in my people. I love my community. So I'm always going to do what I can to clear things up. I don't work well with resentment, you know, interpersonal conflict or people coming at me all sideways. So I'm always going to bring it to you and say, hey, let's sit down. Let's have a conversation. Let's clear this up. And that's what I did with my white voice and my white, like, hi, yes, this is what it looks like. And let's talk through it and how that happened. Girl, she got offended. She got so offended immediately that she couldn't hear me.
Yes.
Even if.
Because how dare you be intelligent and Black and speaking up.
She couldn't hear me. So I had my white board member in the meeting, and then I had my other board member who's Black but ambiguous sometimes, so you can't tell if she's Black or Mexican or something, you know what I mean? And you know, we like to deal with ambiguous Black people differently than a dark-skinned Black woman, and a Black woman too that's known to be matter of fact or aggressive, so you're already all what I teach my staff and through our curriculum is you already always listening for it. So even when I'm soft and nice, you hear aggression, mm-hmm. right? My voice, my smile, my look, everything about me is aggressive, right? And I talk with my hands a lot, like I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're in this meeting and my other board member translates. She says exactly what I just said.
Yeah.
And then the white lady softens up. Hmm. Oh, I understand that. Oh, I didn't think about it that way. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's think about how we can fix this and move ahead.
The words of the narrative didn't change.
No.
Just the skin tone.
Just the skin tone changed. And then it was perceived differently. Mm-hmm. And for my white folks that come to these meetings with me, they're learning a lot too, because they have never, they don't have to experience these things. So when they're in these spaces with me, they're mind blown.
Yeah.
They're mind blown. They'd be like, I can't even believe that just happened. But yes, it just happened. And it's hard to articulate to people without you actually experiencing it and being there.
Yes.
So I imagine that's how it is with your husband.
Yes, it's very much so that way. Like he was aware, right? Like we have open conversation. We get that we're mm-hmm. two different races.
Right.
Like we're not close to it.
And sexist. He's a man.
Yeah, and he's a man and from Texas of all things, so he has a different way that he thinks as well, right? And I'm Chicago born and bred. Like, you can't stop me. What do you mean where I'm going? Where are you going?
Okay, like, where are you going? Don't talk to me.
Right, don't talk to me like that. It's the trauma, right? Grown folks business.
Right.
Grown folks business.
Yeah.
Right? That translates even in our money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't discuss our money.
Yeah.
Because when we were coming up, it was considered grown folks business.
Yeah.
So that's a part of our trauma.
Yeah.
And how we deal with our money, how we keep it, how we spend it. You know, I tell people all the time, white people teach their kids to invest in Nikes. Black people buy Nikes.
Yes. And why? Let's talk about that here on 92.7 FM. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson and my co-host
Kelly. Hey, yo.
Hey, and we're talking about hood politics and tea.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
Okay, so that grown folks business state, right? Mm-hmm. You are already not in an environment that's considered stable.
Yeah.
Right? You already don't know what your day-to-day will look like.
Mm-hmm.
Food insecurities, you're living in the hood. Anything could happen today, right? And then when it's time to like take care of the business, it was all grown folks business. You got our lights are out.
Yeah.
Explain this nonsense.
Yeah. Oh, we ain't got food in the refrigerator.
Oh, we ain't got food.
We got ketchup and mustard.
Right, but you don't want to talk about the money because it's grown folks. Well, you grown folks are doing something that's not right.
Yeah.
Let's discuss.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. So what about, how does that translate into your marriage too? As someone who's a Black woman from the hood, when, you know, you don't discuss your money, what's yours is yours. You don't, you know, you don't invest, you don't buy life insurance because that's not what we were taught.
Yeah.
Instead, we were taught to look like you had money, not to actually invest, to have wealth and money.
Exactly. And the way that I saw things would eventually change, but still at 40 something, I'm still having this, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Right?
How did your husband see it different than you?
He sees money now differently than I do.
Okay.
Right. So he's from a family where Hispanics all pitch in.
Yeah.
They do things together.
Yeah.
They buy houses together. You get this parent, I'll take that parent. Mm-hmm. Right. We thrive. We survive together.
Yeah.
So of course, coming from Chicago, girl, it took his mom a minute because I was like, what is this? I was like, no, like, you don't have my kids. I'm not buying a house with y'all. Like, what is these people talking about? Like,
talking about your mama moving in.
Right. Like, where's this lady going?
She ain't coming to my house.
Right. And so my mother-in-law, God bless Linda, because I know she on Facebook looking at this.
Mama, she don't mean no harm.
Yes, I don't mean no harm. Linda, no, I love her, but she took me to go see a house, and it was just like, I would be down here, and then y'all up here with the living room and the this and the that, and I wasn't ready, like my soul. This ain't what we do, right? In the hood, when you come live, then everybody gonna talk about you because this is an unstable thing.
Yeah,
this is not something we do by choice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But apparently they lump together and they buy cars and they, invest and grow together.
Yeah.
If I could bring that back to my family, I was just like, whoa, right?
Yeah.
So now that I'm 40 plus and my kids are grown, I'm like, you guys, let's buy a building.
Mm.
We all pay separate rents anyway, right?
Yeah.
What we're paying in separate rent, we can own one whole dwelling.
Okay.
Use that as an asset and piggyback to make it better, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm my mama's only child, which means that those kids ain't got nobody.
Right.
I've been gone from Chicago 20 plus years. I could imagine. I can go back to the hood.
Yeah.
But can I really, girl?
Because no, girl, you don't want to go back to you. Won't even know what's going on.
Right.
you be confused and they be confused who you
I
are.
I still get through the, all right, I get through the Italian fiesta though, but I try not to say too much.
Right, you know,
because folks know I've been gone.
Yeah.
You missing that,
yeah.
that edge, yeah. right? But being in a different situation by somebody who took life differently yeah. took away the edge, if that yeah. makes any sense.
That does. You felt you were able to be soft.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to take care of you, show you a different way,
right.
a different culture, another way of thinking about wealth and family.
Mm-hmm.
And I often say what we're lacking from people, whether you're black, white, brown, when you're surviving poverty, you're not thinking about next week, you're thinking about right now. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when you're not thinking about next week or your future, then you spend your money different. Or
yes.
you show up differently because I might not be around tomorrow. Right. People are dying every day around me. My parents are dying. My friends are dying. So if I have $100, I'm going to spend it right now to have fun. I'm about to buy this double shot of Don Julio because I might not get the opportunity.
I might not get it tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you're tuned in to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson. And stay tuned. We want to talk more about politics. We're going to talk about Trump and immigration. We're going to talk about how, and I keep talking about immigration, y'all, because it's a monster.
Yes.
And we have created our own community members and turned them into monsters. The same way y'all do black folks or Arabics when white folks say it's time to turn against a particular community. We did it during 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about that because this is our community. These are our people. So let's talk about the politics around that when we return here on 92.7 FM. So stay tuned so that we can break it on down for y'all.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We always know when it's the last segment. It slows all the way down. What's up, y'all? You're tuned in to 92.7 FM. WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and my co-host for the day,
Kelly O.
Okay, Kelly O. Okay, so today we've been talking a lot about politics in local community agencies and what it's like to be a black business owner and having to have translators to translate. And not just a black business owner, but a black woman and darker hued black woman. People hear us differently. They hear aggressiveness or aggression when we're not being aggressive. You know, our hands, our face movements. If you watch me on Facebook, you know, I'm always moving my eyes, my hands. And it's part of our expressive energy, you know, and just how we communicate. And when we're around other black people, it's not offensive to me when people move with their hands and talk with energy. But when you're not used to being around black people, it could be offensive or it can be translated differently. So this is what I want you guys to take away from this conversation. Black people, we're not going to change the system, right? Like tomorrow, it's not going to just change. And we spend so much time being offended by white people who mistranslate us, who don't understand us. We spend a lot of energy on racism or wanting to push back and fight back. And y'all know I've been fighting this fight for a long time. And what I've realized is stop fighting. Just play chess. You're not playing checkers. Play chess. So what I've decided to do is to get me a couple translators. I hired me a white woman. So she's going to be doing a lot of the conversations with contract managers. I'm just tired of it. My soul is exhausted. So I just need to let go of the fight because it's not mine to have. I'm going to give it to God, right? I also put in an offer letter to another person who's a man. He is indigenous and Mexican, which is awesome, mm-hmm. but he passes as a white man. So this is going to be great. So I get the indigenous, the Mexican.
Yes, yes, you all around.
And the white man, like
yes.
the look of a white man, okay? And he's very experienced, and I'm so excited to bring him on to Urban Triage. So I say stop fighting, just play chess, put people who get it in the position mm-hmm. to be the translator so that your message, your meaning, your mission still gets accomplished without you having to push against.
Right.
So I'm going to end that conversation there. But I want to talk about this immigration mess with Trump. And then to do that, to set the tone, let's play a clip, Luke, from my boy, Josh Johnson, who is the new host of The Daily Show. This boy is so funny. Luke, have you seen him, John Johnson or Josh Johnson?
I haven't seen Josh host the the Daily Show, show yet, but I've seen a lot of his stand-up over the
last... Oh, my God. He is like, everything.
He's good. He's good. And, like, the long-form aspect of it, that's my favorite part.
Yeah.
It's like, you got all these people doing, like, crowd work now.
Yeah.
He's a storyteller.
He is.
And it's always a great, like, setup, like, all the way through. And you don't know where he's going to land with the punchline. And so sometimes it's out of left field, and it's just so good.
It's so good. So y'all support him. Go ahead with the clip for us.
Are we playing the Daily Show one, or are we playing the stand-up one?
Yeah, the Daily. Wait.
I was going to say, I got two, so I got to get clarity.
Oh, my God. Which one was it? It's the stand-up one.
Stand-up one?
Yeah, right. It is. It's about immigration.
Right. There's always been racism in it. It's mainly what it is, you know? Because if you really cared about people coming over the right way, the legal way, then you would make the right way and the legal way clear, and you wouldn't kidnap people at their green card interviews, and you wouldn't have, like, mass people picking people up after baseball practice, okay? If that's what you cared about. And you also, you know, you've structured this thing to make these people seem like monsters. That's been the plan this entire time, because if somebody is a monster, it is part of the human condition and a flaw that we have. As long as we see somebody as a monster, whether they are or not, we don't really care what happens to them. You know? It's why they can make conditions in prison so bad. Because the assumption is, well, everybody that's there deserves to be there, so screw them. Right? If they don't have a clean water, or if they can't shower, or if their food's contaminated, good. Because they did something bad to earn that place, right? And it helps you strip the basic humanity of looking at another person, whether they've made a mistake or not, or looking at another person, whether from a different country or not. And if you get really good at stripping that humanity away, you can do whatever you want, and then you start to be able to do whatever you want to anybody that you want. And that's what's been creeping up this entire time. What started as, like, guys, they're eating the dogs. Remember, they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, nobody's pets are safe. It was getting so dumb. It was past, like, these are criminals and they're killing us.
So one of the things I want to point out that Josh Johnson said, and please check him out, he is a hilarious comedian and an amazing host of The Daily Show. But what he said is, you have to first turn the people into a monster. And it's the same thing we've done in America to people known as Black. You have to make them less than human. You have to strip them of their human attributes. And we've done that, and we're doing that to black, we continue to do it to Black people, but we're doing it more targeted now to brown people and African people and other immigrants. And it's really sad. And it's even sadder that as people and as a society, we're not smart enough to notice what's happening and what's happened throughout history. We did it when 9/11 hit. We did it when COVID hit to Chinese people, right? And we were harming people, and we make them into less than beings. And then we're like, well, they don't deserve clean water in prison. They don't deserve food that's healthy in prison. And the sad part is, y'all, is a lot of people in prison don't deserve to be in prison. Some people are there because they're innocent. And there are some monsters, like real life monsters in our society, but they also should not be treated like monsters, right? Like, you don't beget something to beget something. You know what I mean? Like, you don't meet people in their evil.
And even with the prison thing, like, I watched the Chrisleys. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the Chrisleys?
Nope,
Todd and Julie
Chrisleys.
They didn't bring attention to the federal prison until he got in there and then was like, hey, it's deplorable.
Oh, I remember. And he was talking about how terrible it was, and then he became an advocate
for the prison.
For prisoners after he got out, because he didn't think it was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I feel like that's how we are in America. Well, it's not that bad being Black. You still get to go to school and get access to things. And like we mentioned earlier, until you can experience it. So white people around me get to experience the racism towards me and Urban Triage directly. So we're going to go ahead and end this conversation. But you want to stay tuned next week. I think it's August 8th to the next part two, because Kelly's going to show up again with me, and we're going to continue to talk about this thing, okay, on 92.7 FM, The Black Conversion Show. I'll see you guys next Saturday.
Bye, y'all.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.